Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Light of Truth Radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth Radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea. And once again, it is a pleasure to be with you. To spend these 60 or so odd minutes together and to discuss everything from current events to spiritual implications of said current events to everything else in between. There's never a formulaic approach to this program. There's never something that's etched into stone. Most of the time, there really isn't anything that I want to talk about specifically, except for the rare occasion like last week where I mentioned Doomy. He's still doing well, by the way. Surgery's still great. And he's flying back to Romania today, I believe. So thank you all for your prayers. Thank you all for your support. In case you were wondering, this is a recorded program. But as always, it is so fresh, it might as well be live. Oddly enough, my oldest daughter needs to get a haircut tomorrow, and daddy gets to babysit the younger one around the time that I should have been in studio. So we had to record this. This is, as of today, September 11th, 2019. I am recording this program, and yes, I know... the meaning of this date. I know the heaviness of this date. I know what it all entails because in 2001, I was actually on my way here on September 11th. I was on my way to the United States when what occurred. And I got to spend a few days in an airport without really knowing whether I was coming to the States or I was flying back to Romania. It was a very hectic time. But here we are, some 18 years later. And we're not the nation we were after 9/11, are we? Remember, there was that moment, there was that time, there was that, you know, window where everyone was united in purpose, where we were all Americans and we all bled red, where it didn't matter what political side of the aisle you were on, you were an American first. Well, that is no longer the truth. That is no longer the case. Now we are divided as never before, we know that the Word of God says a house divided against itself cannot stand. It's as simple as that. I didn't come up with that. It was the Word of God that did. And if the Word of God says something, you know it to be true because God doesn't lie. There are a few things I wanted to get into today. One of the most chilling of them being that an Illinois hospital has created a comfort room for aborted babies to die in. Yes, I'm going to keep talking about this because if the majority of decent people, let's say, are silent regarding these things, the monsters get to do as they will. The ghouls get to dictate terms. And this is how we've gotten to this point. This is how we've gotten to actually reading titles like Illinois Hospital Creates Comfort Room for Aborted Babies to Die In. What we're talking about is children alive after an attempted abortion. And rather than give them first aid, rather than make sure they live, they are put in a room they've labeled a comfort room where they expire. Dwell on that for a while. Because I've had this back and forth with a few people. When we speak of judgment, especially on America, a lot of people don't understand why it's warranted. A lot of people roll their eyes and go, "What, we do so much good." okay, but we also do a lot of evil. I believe the scales are tipping in evil's favor at this point. Do we do more good than we do evil? That is the question. And knowing what we know, having received the knowledge that we've received, having understood the history of this nation, ought we to be doing the evil that we're doing? Because to whom much is given, much is also required. It's undeniable that as a nation we have been given much. It's undeniable that as a nation we have been blessed, and exceedingly so. Anyone who denies this reality doesn't understand how the rest of the world lives. And I've also had this conversation with plenty of folks. Well, you keep talking about America being blessed. I don't see that much blessing. Go somewhere else. Have you been out of the country? Do you have a passport? Go see how people live in Nigeria. Go see how people live in Venezuela. Go see how people live in Papua New Guinea. Go see other places and see their life and the way that they have to fight to simply survive. And then come back here and tell me that America isn't a blessed nation. Look, understand that the fact that anyone who wants to find a job can find a job in this country is a blessing. There are nations where people would give anything to find gainful employment and be paid, what, $15, $12, $13, $20 an hour. That's unheard of. They say over 70% of the world's population lives on less than a dollar a day. Hopefully that contextualizes things just a wee bit. Before we murmur and before we complain and before we go, oh, we're not that blessed. Understand how the rest of the world lives. 70% of the world lives on less than a dollar a day. That should put it into context. So, again, it's undeniable that we are a blessed nation. It is also undeniable that as a blessed nation, we have turned our back on the God who blessed us. And I know, oddly strange talking about this on the eve of September the 11th, or actually on September the 11th, oddly strange talking about judgment because, you know, it's uncomfortable, isn't it, to speak of judgment on a day such as this. But the reason that it's necessary, the reason we must speak of judgment, even on this day, is because if we do not repent, if we do not turn our faces towards God, if we do not fall in humility and repentance before Him as a nation, worse than 9/11 will visit our shores. This is why it's important to discuss this topic today, because worse is coming if we do not repent. And you know what? Again, if I were a betting man, we're not going to do it. This nation will not repent. It will stiffen its neck. It will harden its heart. And every time something catastrophic and cataclysmic takes place, all that we will do is shake our fist at God, not understanding that the more we shake our fist at God, the worse will come our way, because God removes His hedge of protection from a nation that disregards Him, that says, we don't need you anymore. Thanks, buddy. Thanks for bringing us this far, but we no longer require your services. So, it's coming. I don't want it to, but it's coming. Because we will not repent. Because we will not turn our faces back towards God and acknowledge Him for who He is. But I want to get back to this article, because if you've eaten this evening when you are hearing this, then I apologize. It may make your stomach queasy. But this is the reality of the times that we're living in. This is what is happening in this nation. And you need to know it. Because far too many Christians are burying their head in the sand. Far too many Christians are plugging their ears and chanting la, la, la. We don't want to hear it. Hey, the rapture's coming, brother. Brother, let's not be concerned about these things. The rapture's coming. Well, until the rapture comes, It is our duty and responsibility to work. It is our duty and responsibility to defend the defenseless. It's our duty and responsibility to fight for what's right. Because this notion of the rapture coming is sort of escapism, isn't it? Well, we're unconcerned with what the future holds because the rapture is coming. And if you want to get into eschatology, and if you want to get into the timeline of the rapture, because I do believe there will be a catching away. The Bible speaks of a catching away. The only fly in the ointment, the only hitch in the giddy-up is when. That's where the household of faith is divided. Well, it's got to be pre-tribulation. Why does it have to? Well, because we would suffer otherwise. Well, first of all, no, you wouldn't suffer the pains of tribulation because that's how God protects his people. And yes, you would suffer the persecution of the unrighteous, but hey, so has every other Christian since the beginning of Christendom. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs if you have any doubts. If God allowed them to be eaten by lions, if God allowed them to be set ablaze and burned alive, if God allowed them to be crucified and decapitated, what makes you special on any level that he would say, hey, Bernice, hey, Johnny, come hither. Come to heaven before get a hangnail or before you get a scratch. Come on. If all the disciples save one died violent deaths for their faith, if the history of the church is peppered with men and women throughout the world having died for the cause of Christ, why do we believe that this generation will be exempted from seeing any sort of tribulation? Why do we believe that this generation will be exempted from seeing any sort of persecution? Why do we believe we're special? That's a good question, huh? Is there any reasonable, logical reason why we believe it? Do we have a biblical answer to why we believe we're special? Or do we just shrug our shoulders and say, just because? Well, that's not a good enough answer. That's not an argument. You are no more special than those who came before you. You are no more special than those who lived 2,000 years ago. You are no more special than those who lived 500 years ago. I know, shocking. I'm sure I'll get a letter from Joel Osteen. However, this is the reality because everybody thinks they're special now, and everybody needs to be a protected class, and everybody believes that their feelings or their perception of themselves, whatever it be, how lunatic fringe it might be, has to be embraced and accepted because, hey, I'm special. And because I'm special, you have to accommodate my speciality or my specialness. No, I don't. I don't have to accommodate anything and know you're not special. You are flesh, bone, blood, like everyone else. I really am not impressed with the title that you give yourself. I'm not impressed with the opinion you have of yourself. We're all equal in the sight of God. I don't care if you're rich. I don't care if you're poor. I don't care if you're black or you're white or, hey, brown like me. Still not special. Simple as that. I know. It's a rude awakening. Everybody is tuning out and going to Joel Osteen's channel because, hey, you're a daisy. You're a special, special apple of God's eye, special boy and girl. Believe what you will, but make sure that what you believe lines up with the Word of God, huh? Because we're delving deeper and deeper into idiocy. And I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about the church. We're making up doctrine wholesale and passing it off as biblical. Not in the Bible. Oh, well, brother, it's what it means. Is it? Is it really what it means? But let's get back to this because I keep getting sidetracked. I really don't want to read it because all I had this morning was coffee. And I know it's not going to sit well with me. But we have to do it because the scales must fall off of our eyes. We must understand not only what's going on, but why judgment is coming, so that we are not among those who stand and shake their fist at God and go, "We didn't deserve this." Yeah, we did. We do. Some people even believe that it's long past due. An eyewitness nurse revealed how a hospital in Illinois has a comfort room in which aborted babies who survive for hours outside the womb are left to die. Let that sink in. I'll give you a second. An eyewitness nurse revealed how a hospital in Illinois has a comfort room in which aborted babies who survive for hours outside the womb are left to die. Now, tell me with a straight face that these people have any sort of humanity left in them. I know, Nancy Pelosi, spark of divinity. Remember Nancy Pelosi with M13 gang members who, you know, decapitate people and cut off arms and legs just for ha-ha fun? Everyone has a spark of divinity. Show me the spark of divinity in these people who would leave a baby to die, knowing that it's viable because it survived outside the womb for hours. I'm speaking in California in October. And I've been asked to come up with a title for my talk. And I've been praying about it for the last 2 days. And I, right now, with everything that's going on, with what we're seeing in the world, I think a good title would be Seared, Sanctified, or Seeking: How You Will Meet the End of the World. Because there are those whose conscience has been seared. It is a biblical truth. There are those who have made a pact with darkness. There are those whose souls, let's just say, are different than yours or mine. There are those who would take a baby, breathing, crying, baby, live, viable baby, and put it in a room that they've labeled the comfort room. Then they close the door to the room, and they wait for the baby to die. Let that sink in. Before you start typing madly, before you get all blustery about, oh, no nation deserves judgment. Yeah, some nations do. There's biblical precedent for it. And I don't care how much money we give to Israel or how much money we give to charity or how many good things we do. The fact that we are so nonchalant about killing babies, the fact that it doesn't affect us in any way when we hear about something as grotesque as a comfort room where we let aborted babies die, I think that weighs heavier on the scale than a few bucks here or there, don't you? Jill Stanek told a hearing on the Born Alive Act in Washington, D.C., that doctors at Christ Hospital in Oak Lawn perform live birth abortions where the baby is allowed to die during or after the abortion procedure. So the hospital name, unironically, is Christ Hospital. This is in Oak Lawn, Illinois. This is an hour and a half drive from where I live. And this nurse testified at a hearing that doctors there at Christ Hospital in Oak Lawn, Illinois, perform live birth abortions where the baby is allowed to die during or after the abortion procedure. The hospital provides comfort care for the babies for hours after the procedure by wrapping the infant in a blanket and keeping it warm until it dies. I'm going to have pregnant pauses throughout this article because I need you to understand what is happening in this country. I need you to see evil for what it is. This is evil. This is the very definition of evil. The hospital provides comfort care for the babies for hours after the procedure by wrapping the infant in a blanket and keeping it warm until it dies. Parents of the baby are also allowed to hold it during this time. Who would allow their baby to die having held it in their arms? What kind of monsters have we bred in this society, having gotten rid of God and morality and decency? I don't care what your excuse is. If you held a breathing, viable baby in your arms, then gave it back to the nurse to put it in the comfort room to let it die, you're a monster. Period. There's no discussion here. There's no, well, but you need to understand. No, there's no understanding. You held your baby viable, alive. It came from your womb. It grew inside you for 9 whole months. You looked at its face. You saw it reach up to you. It recognized your voice. It felt safe. This is Mama. Mama wouldn't hurt me. And then you give it to another monster to put it in a room and let it die. Tell me that judgment is unwarranted. That judgment is undeserved. You can't. You cannot tell me with a straight face that we do not deserve the full breath of God's judgment on this nation. Unreal. But I'm going to power through this because I need you to get disgusted. I need you to understand. Because most people nowadays are too busy with everything else than to realize what's happening to their nation. Than to realize that we're not taking small strides from bad to worse. We're careening down a slide that's been greased up with butter. We're going to hit bottom soon, and it's going to hurt. And it all goes back to godlessness. If you could transport someone from the 1960s or 70s, I'm not talking about 100 years ago. I'm talking about JFK day. If you could bring JFK back to life and teleport him from the day he died to today's modern age and show him news headlines, because he was a Democrat, wasn't he? Show him what has become of this nation. Because, I mean, you can take a Puritan, and I'm sure they, you know, but JFK, not known as a righteous man by any means. And if he read what was happening in this nation today, he would throw up. He would be beside himself. He'd yank his hair out. Because, see, this is how you come to this sort of mindset. This is how we get from there to here. It's that slow progression. It's the frog in the boiling pot of water theory. But if you could snap a finger and bring someone from 30 years ago into the modern era and see where we've gotten to, they would be beside themselves. And yet most of the church, yeah, blah-dee-da, rapture's coming, brother. Never mind the, you know, hospitals with comfort rooms that let babies die. Rapture's coming. Glory. Do you understand how I need to put it nicely, because what I want to say, I can't say. Do you realize how much of a stench in the nostrils of God that mindset is, where you see the chaos that is taking place all around you, you hear of these things, but you shrug your shoulders and go, oh, rapture's coming. That is not why God put you here, just to pick your belly button lint and wait for rapture. You're supposed to be here with a purpose, to be light, to be salt, to stand up against this sort of monstrosity, to preach Christ so that mothers who give birth to their children have enough empathy left in their shriveled hearts to hang on to that baby and not let it be taken to a room to die. Let's go on. I'm trying to keep my coffee down, and I will push on. If staff did not have the time or desire to hold the baby, she was taken to Christ Hospital's comfort room, which was complete with a first photo machine if parents wanted professional pictures of their aborted baby, baptismal supplies, gowns and certificates, footprinting equipment, and baby bracelets for mementos, and a rocking chair, Stanek said. Just let that sink in. Once again, I need you to contextualize how horrific this tableau is, because it's painting a picture. So not only did they have footprinting equipment and baby bracelets for mementos and a rocking chair, they have baptismal supplies in the comfort room. Meaning that some of these monsters who let their babies die alone are quote unquote Christian. They're believers. They believe in God, whether Catholic or Orthodox, they still believe in God, and somehow we've allowed society to talk people into believing that God will not condemn them for doing this. We've allowed society to twist scripture. We've allowed men who ought not to have been behind pulpits tell us that that's not what God means for so long, that people who consider themselves Christian would allow their own baby to die. But hey, we sprinkled it with some water first, so it should be okay. I know. This is not an opinion. I know it's knowledge. I know that when we get to heaven, there will be many whom God will rebuke and chastise for their silence. There will be many whom God will rebuke and chastise for taking this wait-and-see approach, this rapture's coming anyway approach. Look, I can't not hold the church accountable or responsible for the state of today's society. We have failed. We can beat our chest and talk about crusades in Ghana until we're blue in the face, but we have failed here at home. This is where society is. Where mothers hold their babies in their arms, then hand them over to be allowed to die. Now, in her testimony, this nurse also revealed how once she witnessed another nurse deliver a live baby, but then failed to clamp the severed umbilical cord, causing the baby to begin bleeding. The infant was then placed in a bag and thrown in the trash. The infant was then placed in a bag and thrown in the trash. The infant was then placed in a bag and thrown in the trash. This is progress. This is the culmination of civilization, is it not? All those backwards generations that came before us, you know, picket fences and families with a mommy and a daddy. Leave it to Bieber, how passe? No. Yes, this is where we are. Embrace progress. This is the pinnacle, sir, the pinnacle of civility. The infant was then placed in a bag and thrown in the trash. Stanek also related how she held a 22-week-old Down syndrome baby for the last 45 minutes of his life because his parents did not want to hold him. Towards the end, he was so quiet, I could not tell if he was still alive. I held him up to the light to see through his chest wall whether his heart was still beating. After he was pronounced dead, I folded his arms across his chest, wrapped him in a tiny shroud, and carried him to the hospital morgue where all our dead patients are taken. Welcome to 2019. The greatest nation the world has ever known. Technologically advanced. On the cusp of human enlightenment, the nation every other nation wants to be. The infant was then placed in a bag and then thrown in the trash. So, I don't know. I for one, am not going to beat my chest. I never have, but I'm not going to start. Because this is what is happening in what we deem to be the greatest nation in the world. This is what is happening. What? An hour and a half from where I live. Monsters are wearing human skin. Somewhere along the way, they determined that this was okay. They determined that this was acceptable. They determined that this is what the people want. And you know the old saying, if there is a demand, there will be a supply. Stanek subsequently quit her job at the hospital. However, there is a new thing happening in today's culture. And you will hear about this sooner or later, because when you listen to this program, it's always a few weeks ahead of the trend. Let's put it that way. We talked about cannibalism being able to save the planet, what, a month ago almost? And now, wouldn't you know it, scientists in Sweden are saying, if you want to save the planet, you must eat grandma for dinner. So it's getting pushed. All these things, the most evil things that the human mind can envision are getting normalized. Because the church is silent. And you haven't heard about this yet, but I guarantee you within the next 6 weeks, you're going to start hearing about it. There's a new subculture of people, couples, who get pregnant repeatedly so that they could abort the baby. I'm sorry, but there is a need for chemical castration. It's a fetish. This is actually happening. Don't plug up your ears. Don't turn this off. This is happening. There are actually monsters out there who get pregnant on purpose just so they could abort the baby over and over again. But no, brother, for you to say that judgment is warranted is heartless and cruel. So's putting a baby in a plastic bag and throwing it in a trash bin. So is having a comfort room, quote unquote, that provides no comfort. That's just a room where you take babies to die. Judgment is coming. Of this I am certain more than ever before. And knowing that judgment is coming, the question that you must answer for yourself is whether you are among the sanctified, whether you are among the seared, or whether you are among those that are searching, that are seeking, that see these things happening and intuitively desire a place of refuge. You see, we need to acquire wisdom, having already acquired knowledge. I've been working on an article that I'm going to probably put out tomorrow morning, where the Word of God tells us that God's people perish for lack of knowledge. But it's the selfsame Word of God that tells us we are supposed to diligently pursue wisdom as well. So, what's the difference between knowledge and wisdom? That's a question that I want to tackle with this next article, and it's coming together. I've been praying about it. But there's a lot of believers that possess a lot of knowledge. They have knowledge regarding eschatology. They have knowledge regarding prophecy. They have knowledge regarding the last days. But all they have is knowledge. They've amassed a treasure trove of knowledge without stepping into wisdom and determining what to do with the knowledge they've amassed. Wisdom allows you to take the appropriate action and make the right decision based on the knowledge that you've been able to acquire. My prayer for you is that you get beyond knowledge and acquire wisdom. See, I come on here every week, and every week the message is similar, because there is one necessity, and everything else is peripheral. The necessity is Christ and your relationship with Him. The necessity is repentance on our behalf, so that Christ might be glorified through us. All these other things that we discuss are peripheral. And so every time we get back to this center, we get back to the necessity of it all. It's always Jesus. And this is why the world we live in is as it is. Because we started focusing on all the peripheral things and forgot about Christ. See, if the church would have held Christ up, if the primary purpose of the household of faith was Christ, not church building, not church planting, not auxiliaries, not potlucks, but Christ. From having had Christ, everything else would have flowed out. But we focused on other things because that's what we thought the people wanted. We knew what the people needed all along. We knew that they needed Christ. But we thought the people wanted prosperity. We thought people wanted self-development. We thought people wanted mantras. We thought people wanted to be lied to. And we're beginning to see that though some people wanted that, what they needed was still Jesus, because we are breeding a generation of psychopaths and psychotics and monsters and ghouls who have no qualms about watching their baby die after holding it in their arms, who have no qualms about taking human life, ending, snuffing out the life of an individual they've never met that has never wronged them, just because they felt like it that day. The culture that we've created is breeding these monsters. The culture that we've created is breeding these ghouls. And the reason that we have the culture that we have is because we removed God from it. It's as simple as that. Whenever I get into these things, for the rest of the day, I'm not myself anymore. For the rest of the day, I feel discombobulated. Because I was there for the birth of both of my girls. I was there, and I held them within the first 30 seconds they were born. And I would go through cement and steel to protect one hair on their head, never mind allow them to expire, to die alone on a table. It's just, look, some things I can't. Well, you know, put yourself in their shoes. I can't, no matter how heartless, no matter how cold I imagine myself to be, I cannot put myself in these people's shoes. No matter how depraved or evil, I cannot put myself in these people. I can't imagine myself coming to that point in my human existence where I'm so empty and void of any empathy or compassion. Where my baby, the product of my wife and I's union, is allowed to die. But hey, they were made comfortable because, you know, they got wrapped in a blanket. Welcome to the new reality. And I guarantee you, if, perchance, something odd happens and the next election goes the wrong way, not only will this sort of thing metastasize, those standing against these sort of horrors will be silenced. Wait and see. That's all I'm going to say. Because these people have an agenda. These people have a purpose. They have a mission. And it's to shed as much innocent blood as possible. And who are you? Who are you to say what a woman can do with her own body? Well, this wasn't in the woman's body anymore, was it? This was a human being. It was a baby. It was viable. It had footprints and fingerprints. It was outside of you, you monster. You have no right to let it die. But see, it gets stretched all the more, like the rubber band. It keeps stretching and stretching. Remember, I wasn't here, but I've read the history of it. Remember when Roe versus Wade passed? What was it supposed to be? Safe? Rare? And only when the mother's life was in danger. In 2019, we have comfort rooms in major hospitals in Illinois that are nothing more than rooms where babies, unwanted babies, after 9 months in utero, are taken to and allowed to die. Safe and rare, huh? Look, how much further can we push the envelope? How much more seared must our conscience get before we start crying out for judgment? Before decent human beings look up to heaven and go, God, just send it. It's no, just send it. We understand you're a merciful God. We understand that your mercy endures for generations. We understand all these things, but God, no more. Just send it. How long before we come to that place? Because let me tell you, with every story I hear and I read, with every step we take towards oblivion, with every cruelty that we're able to visit upon the most innocent of society, I'm that much closer to crying out and saying, just send it. Nope, nope, no more time, just send it. I don't know. I'm in a very strange frame of mind right now. Because on the one hand, I've got kids. I don't want them to live through something as horrific as God's judgment. But I know that He will provide and He will protect, even if they must. But on the other hand, I read about these things taking place throughout the country. I read about this push for us to become animals. And even animals protect their young. That's why there's that whole thing about mama bears. Once that baby cub is born, don't you dare get near it. Because that mama bear will tear you apart. So we've descended to a place where we're worse than the animals. We've descended to a place where we could look our newborn baby in the eye and let it die anyway. We've descended to a place where we're human beings in name only. Because no human being would get pregnant and feel a life growing inside them with the singular intent of killing it. I'm sorry. Not every biped is human. But this is where we are. And I know that we scratch our heads and go, how can it get any worse? Wait and see. That's become my new go-to. That's become the answer to this question that I get so often. But Brother Mike, how can it get any worse? Wait and see. Because one thing is certain, it will. I don't know how possibly, but it will. Because darkness is never satisfied. This is another truth that we need to come to terms with as believers and stop giving up ground and stop saying, well, you know, if we give them this, they'll be okay. Darkness doesn't have an off switch. It doesn't have a pause button. There's no neutral. You give an inch, it wants a mile. You give a mile, it wants the whole thing. Tell me the last time the church acquiesced or the church agreed to some evil, some abomination, some thing that God is disgusted with. And then they said, all right, thank you. We're done here. No, they hopscotched on to the next thing. And I guarantee you, once this whole transgenderism thing is normalized, the next great frontier is pedophilia. It's just love, man. Why do you hate love? Love is love. And they've been pushing it and pushing it. They've already started because they see that, hey, churches are allowing drag queens to come and read stories and play tickle time with the kids. So that's already a battle they've won. Next, what's next? And there's always something else. There's always some other perversion. there's always some other evil that we are supposed to accept, that we're supposed to embrace, not just tolerate, but validate and celebrate. Because, well, if we don't, then we're bigots. You know what? Call me what you will. I don't care. I've never cared. I care less today than I did yesterday. The older I get, the less I care about what people call me. If the church doesn't develop a tougher skin, it's going to get rolled. There will be no church, or at least what church is supposed to be in a decade. If we keep allowing these things, one after the other, to be normalized, to be celebrated, to be made into something honorable rather than something abominable. So here we are, kids. September 11th, 2019, one day before this program is supposed to air. And though I am exceedingly sad for those who lost their lives 18 years ago, when the next judgment is visited upon us, let us not dare say that it's undeserved or unwarranted. And with that, I thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening to this program. May God bless you. May God keep you. Hopefully, we'll be with you next week. But for now, Gino, if you've got anything to say, the floor is yours.
Well, shockingly, Mike, this is an article that came out not long ago. Over 40% of women who've had an abortion say they were churchgoers at the time they ended their pregnancy. Half of them say they kept their abortions hidden from church members. New Lifeway research shows. In a survey released Monday, sponsored by the Pregnancy Center support organization CareNet, researchers from the Christian research group Lifeway found that 70% of women who've had an abortion self-identified as Christian, while 43% say they attended a Christian church at least once a month at the time they aborted their child. The survey, which interviewed 1,038 respondents who've all had abortions, found that 20% of the respondents attended church once a week at the time of their first pregnancy termination. 6% say they attended church more than once a week. 54% said they rarely or never attended church. Although a majority of Christian churches do not support aborting a child, only 7% of the women discuss the abortion decision with anyone at church. 52% said no one at their church knew about their abortion. 76% of them say the church had no influence on their decision to go through the abortion. How sad is that? I'm not surprised. I don't think it reflects, well, this is the president of March for Life organization who says it doesn't reflect anything bad about the churches. Absolutely, it does reflect bad about the church and the influence it has on its parishioners and the influence it has on people considering such a serious life choice of ending a life. So statistically, as Mike said, we're in big trouble. And I asked Dimitri, why is judgment coming to America? And he always kept saying, because of the sin in the church. And it's the same take that Mike had today on the program. Blood's on our hands as the church. And not only do we be silent about it and not stand against it, and the churches in Illinois should absolutely picket or do whatever they can at that hospital that says they're Christ hospital. And it's just a sad day. And that's why, you know, our ministry is saying that the day is coming when judgment's coming to America. And just keep us in prayer. Next week, our program will focus on questions that people have sent in for Mike. I'll be hosting that with Mike. Have a great day. Keep our country in prayer, especially that today is the day, as Mike said, that we remember 911.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you. They are all